Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host, and so happy to be back here for a Monday, ready to do it for another week. And it's pretty hard to come up with a better Monday than spending 2 hours in the afternoon with Trent Horn. Trent Horn, you know, is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, a speaker of renown and a great debater with people who in one way or another grumpy about the faith. But he keeps a cheerful disposition about it. He's the author of a whole bunch of books, including Why We're Catholic. And he's one of the authors on Layla Miller's new book, Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. Hi, Trent.
Hello, Cy.
Congratulations on getting Layla Miller's book.
I'm one of the authors with Layla Miller. You mean the other author, the co-author?
I don't know. Is this wrong of me? I think of it as Layla's book, and then you're one of the authors.
It is told through Layla's voice. But if I had to compare this book, I would say, imagine you had a coin,
yeah,
and you know you laid it on a table. Layla would be heads, and I would be tails. Layla's what you see, but I'm just as equally important that what you do not see.
And Layla doesn't mind if you think about it that way? She's okay if you
had to pick. Okay, Cy, which do you want to be? I'm going to ask you snap question. What do you want to be, heads or tails?
Tails.
Really?
I don't know. Sorry, heads.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's fair. I think most people, when they call it, they usually call heads. But
do they really?
I don't know. That would be a good poll for us to do on Catholic Answers Live. Just ask people, heads or tails?
And then we actually have a question for people today. It's way harder.
Okay.
We're taking calls from people who are not religious, and we're asking them, why are you not religious?
Yes.
And I think I say it that way with that tone in my voice because maybe we have the notion that you'd probably be better off if you were religious.
I think there's certainly virtues to that. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk to anyone today who is not really religious. You might identify as an atheist. You might identify as an agnostic. You might be spiritual in general. You might have just a kind of general belief in God, but you don't belong to any religion. There's lots of people who identify as being non-religious. I think among millennials now, one in every three people under the age of 30 don't identify with any particular religion. So if that is you, we would like to know why. Feel free to call in.
And the number is 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. We are Catholics, and we don't hide that. We're happy to share that we come from that perspective. But we love talking with people from all different backgrounds and traditions, or even maybe if you feel you don't have any religious tradition at all. We'd be just thrilled to speak with you, 888-318-7884. Today, we're holding the phones for people who say they are not religious, and we'd like to know, why are you not religious? And I imagine in your various travels, especially when you give talks and things, people tell you why they're not religious. What are some of the things you hear about those under 30s in particular, maybe, about why they're not religious?
Well, I think some people say, Cy, that they don't see how religion of any kind is relevant to their lives right now. You know, mm-hmm. They think, look, I've got what I need to do. I've got my friends. I have my job. I have my career. I have my hobbies. I feel like I have everything in place. What do I need religion for? What's really missing there? So a lack of relevance. Other people will say to me they think that religion contradicts something that they believe in. They'll say, well, faith, a lot of religions, especially Christianity, contradicts science, or faith contradicts reason. So I don't really want to have that contradiction in my life. I can just believe in science and reason and just kind of be on my way. And to some people, I think there is a personal issue they've struggled with in their own faith, emotional, theological, any kind of reflection, something that has caused them discomfort, concern, or even pain. And so they kind of drifted away from their faith in that process.
And there's do you ever have a sense? Let me just put it this way. I have a sense, and I wonder if you share this sense with me, that there's a way in which the more connected to pop culture you are, the less you might be encouraged to be religious. Not because pop culture is, you know, hateful or something to religion, but maybe in some cases it is, but that there's a general kind of mindset in pop culture that's connected to the glamour of this world, maybe more than to deeper realities of human existence. You're looking at me like, no, you are nuts for thinking that.
No, not at all.
Oh,
my concerned look was one of agreement to the consequences that I think are very sad.
Yeah.
That for many people, when you look at popular culture today, I would describe it as atheistic in that very general sense of atheism, of a definition many atheists put forward. Because a lot of atheists will say atheism is just a lack of belief in God. Now, I don't think atheism is exactly that, because I think it's a lack of belief in God for a certain reason, because you don't think there is a God, or you know, you don't think there's any good reasons to believe in God. But just the general lack of belief in God, I think we see that in entertainment and news, that you watch movies or films. There's hardly any that showcase reality from the viewpoint of protagonists or characters that have a very devout faith, for example.
Yeah.
Or if Christians show up on television, a lot of times they're usually some kind of a legalistic, shrill, hysterical stereotype. So I think that the people who that are looked up to are seen as just those who are virtuous, which is ironic because religion, a lot of people think that religion is just following just some kind of a creed and pie in the sky by and by. You know, I just believe in the right thing, and that's that. But religion is much more than that. It's about trusting in God and through the grace of God living out a virtuous life. So I think a lot of people, when they look in culture, people they look up to are usually very virtuous, or at least they exemplify some virtues very well. Like even if they have problems with some virtues, they're very prudent or very courageous individuals. And so they don't see that our faith is not something that sidesteps that. Those ideas come directly from it. So it's one of the things that we could probably talk about today.
Why are you not religious? That's our question for today. The number 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. You know, I'm one of those people who is not as down on reality TV as other people are. And you're going to think I'm nuts, but I can remember watching television in the 70s and 80s. I grew up on 1970s television, basically. And there was virtually no mention of God or faith or religion on TV. There was not a golden era in any regard in that sense. And when reality TV came out, some of these reality TV shows, people have real religious struggles. They talk about God. Now, I'm not saying the shows themselves are great, but I actually think that's better. I mean, TV, all right, it's mostly junk. But at least in reality TV, I can remember one that had this rock star, this kind of over-the-hill rock star on it. I don't remember what it was, what the show was. But he was talking about his own loss of faith. I think he had a child that was sick and then regaining his faith in God. And I thought, you know, I never saw that episode of Happy Days or All in the Family where there was a loss of faith and a struggling and a regaining faith. So
you know that Tom Bosley did play Father Brown in a limited edition series, though, Si. Tom Bosley of Happy Days fame. Richie.
I'm guessing that was Tom Bosley. That wasn't Fonzie you were doing.
No, I that would be Fonzie. So I do. I am sympathetic to that, though I do remember there were, you know, other shows. There was that one movie that came back, I think it was like 70s or 80s, where God appears to like this teenage kid. He's kind of an older man. I just remember one of the sequels is called
Oh God.
Oh God, You Devil was the sequel. Oh God.
Oh God with George, Gracie, George, Gracie Allen's husband.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't believe that I've forgotten his name. It'll come to me in a minute.
I don't know. So I guess it depends. The furthest we've gone away from that, then I guess as a kid, I remember Angels in the Outfield.
Something
like that.
Right.
But I do think that with modern social media, there is a lot of alternative forms of media. So you have people who have YouTube channels or Instagram. George Burns.
Sorry, go ahead.
Did the Peanut Gallery fill you in on that?
Or no, it just came to me, yeah.
George Burns, yes. Yeah. So with modern social media, I think that we're able to see people who have devout faith reach a lot of individuals, and people who are devout in different areas of celebrity, their ability to share their faith to be replayed and multiplied on social media. So that is one virtue of what we have today. I remember when Chris Pratt gave essentially a wonderful sermon, an exhortation to people, at the MTV Video Music Awards not too long ago. And there was a time where people would have made mention of it and gone on. But the more you can replay and share things like this, so there's pluses and minuses in the kind of world we live in that regard.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. The number 888-31-TRUTH, if you'd like to tell us why you are not religious, we would love to discuss it with you. 888-318-7884. And right now, fall store-wide summer sale. I keep saying fall summer sale. I don't know why I do that. It's all these books that we have here that you hear about on this show are on sale. If you go to shop.catholic.com, you use a promo code CALIVE18, you get 20% off hundreds of items in our online store. Go now, shop.catholic.com, and begin saving when you put in the promo code CALIVE18.
Hello, this is Bishop Jeffrey Monfort, Bishop of the Diocese of Steubenville. Make sure you keep it on Catholic Answers Live. God bless you.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
We do our best to keep you, well, connected to all the events happening in our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, from Rome to back home here in the U.S. and around the globe. It's also our goal to help each and every listener like you take this beautiful faith of ours out into the public square with great ideas on making a difference through engaging the culture.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, tomorrow morning, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you not religious? That's our question today. Trent Horn, author and speaker extraordinaire, is here to have a conversation with you about that. If you're not religious, why are you not religious? We'd be happy to talk with you. Boomer, Becca, Michael on Facebook. Also, Tom, thanks for telling me it was George Burns when I couldn't remember who.
I knew there was a peanut gallery.
The greatest comedian of all time is. I wanted to make sure I got the names in. But George Burns is the funniest man that ever lived, and I forgot his name. But he's not as funny as his wife, Gracie Allen. Have you ever seen the Burns and Allen show?
No, I have not.
It's genius television. It's black and white. But they break the third wall. It's like, it's in the old times of television.
The fourth wall.
The fourth wall. They broke the third wall.
The third wall is behind them.
Yeah, no, they broke the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Like George would just turn and talk to the camera in the middle of a scene. It was wonderful television. Burns and Allen, you should look it up. Ashley in Chicago listening on 91.5 FM. You are up first today with Trent Horn. Why are you not religious, Ashley?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I wanted to call in because I very strongly believe in the good of humanity. I identify very strongly as atheist. Earlier one of you guys said that it's a disbelief in God. I would go beyond that. For me, it's a belief, I guess, against God. No offense to you guys whatsoever.
None taken.
But for me, I do not believe in God because I believe people are naturally good. I'm a social worker. I work with people with developmental disabilities. And, so I think that sort of can model my view a little bit. But I think that you can have a very strong, kind heart without a God guiding that. And I also feel like a lot of times, in my view, religion can get in the way. And sometimes it can cause people to kind of have an us versus them mentality, and there's a lot of hatred due to religion, and without religion, I am very confident in my moral standing. I believe I'm a good person. I'm a stand-up citizen, and I developed that on my own and with the help of my family and friends and community, and for me, God is no part of that.
Okay. Ashley, I do want to ask you about your atheism, since it's rare on Catholic Answers Live for us to get someone who is no offense to you, such a devout atheist. So I would enjoy asking you a question about that. Before I get to that, though, I have another question. What is a good person? Like, what defines whether someone is a good person versus a bad person?
Yeah, I think a good person is basically, very simply, someone who stands up for what's right, stands up for their own wellness and for the wellness of others.
Okay, so someone who does what they think is right is a good person, but doesn't everybody do what they think is right or what they should do in a given situation? Because everybody justifies things that they do. So by that definition, it's just a good person is just any person. Do you see how that's kind of problematic?
I see what you're saying. I guess maybe my wording is not as clear.
Well, give me an example of a bad person.
You know, I hardly think there is a bad person. If you want a specific example, I don't listen to the show often enough to know, again, if this is a bad thing to say or not. But, I mean, Donald Trump, to me, is a very bad person.
Okay. Let's try.
But in general, I think most people are good.
Well, we can talk about, I mean, I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about here on the show.
Yeah.
We can talk about why you think Trump is a bad person.
Let's try
someone. Would you say, I guess, Hitler is a bad person? That's always an easy go-to.
Well, sure.
Okay. Who do you think was worse, Trump or Hitler?
Oh, I think they're about even. I don't know. I mean, I think you could split hairs either way. I think that...
Okay.
I mean, Hitler is solely responsible for the deaths of millions of people. So in that category, absolutely. But if you break it down into as a person, I'm not a Nazi. I'm not anything bad, you know, but
sure.
I think every person has good qualities. I'll say that. Even the people that I dislike
have
good qualities.
Sure, and Ashley, I don't disagree with you. If you mean all people are good in the sense that they have good qualities about them, they have the potential to choose to do good, that they can have good virtues, I firmly agree with you. I think almost any religious person would agree with you that all people have some kind of goodness in them. And in fact, the Catholic Church teaches that human beings, even after the fall of man, we retained some of the image of God, and that we all have a conscience that God gave us that can tell us when something is good or bad. But your definition, I think that when you leave behind religion and God and an objective grounding for morality, you have a problem when you have these kind of universal terms like, you know, good, objective good and objective evil. Because you said a good person is just somebody who stands up for something and does what they think is right. Even under that definition, Hitler thought he was right and he stood for something, right? So,
yeah, but I mean, I feel like that's twisting it slightly. I think good in the context. I mean, yeah, okay, good. Maybe good is too general of a term to use for this.
Well, I think it's important for us to know, because if your goal in life is for someone to be a good person, if we have the definition so vague, then any kind of behavior qualifies, and we have kind of an anarchic and a society that lacks virtue, that is kind of relativistic, where people call good evil and evil good. And that's something that I find to be distressing. So I'm willing to give you one. You could take another shot at it if you want. What makes someone a good person?
Well, I guess I would sort of rephrase all of this into my point is that, you know, there are religious people that are good people. Many religious people are very, you know, stand-up citizens.
The same is true for non-religious people.
Exactly.
Sure.
Right. And that's my point, is that to have a moral compass, the moral compass that religion offers many people, I feel like there is an equally just and fair moral compass among people who, you know, oppose religion or just find themselves outside of religion.
Okay.
I feel like we would agree on the terms of a good person. You know, I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, and I would agree with you that human beings are all capable of knowing the objective moral law, these objective universal principles of morality, because for me, I think from a religious perspective, it makes more sense to say all people can access this because they've had this universal moral law written on their hearts by a universal moral lawgiver. Even if they don't know him personally, we only have a few more minutes left to share with one another. So I would like to ask you, you seem like to be a very committed atheist in the sense you're sure that God, are you willing to say God does not exist? And if so, why do you think that?
Well, I don't know that anyone can fairly say that God does exist or doesn't exist, but as strongly as I'm able to, yes, I believe there is no God.
Why?
Yes.
Why? Why are you so strong about it?
You know, I was raised with a mildly religious background, Christian background.
Okay.
It seemed illogical to me, to be honest. And if you break it apart, there's not to say that there's not value in it.
Okay.
I believe there's value in it.
Can you give me an example of something about believing in God that you see to be illogical?
Oh, I don't know. Like the Noah's Ark thing, I think that makes no sense to me. You know, I guess I'm more of a logical, like scientific-minded person. Mm-hmm. And Noah's Ark, for example, that story couldn't have possibly happened my eyes.
Is your understanding of the story that sometime 4,000 years ago, every single animal species on Earth was put on a wooden boat?
Right.
Okay. Is it possible that the story may have another kind of meaning? Like, for example, maybe this passage in the Bible is part of epic poetry communicating a truth about God that's not literal, like a newspaper account? Because it seems to me, do you see how there's like kind of a jump that you could believe the Bible comes with different genres, literal and non-literal? Like, why would you have to jump all the way to atheism? That seems kind of like an unwarranted leap when there's a few other options to pick before that point.
Yeah, you know, I think, I guess to me, I agree with that. And obviously who, you know, Noah's Ark, to me, there is value in that story and many Bible stories.
Okay.
But to me, that's all it is. And, you know, the Bible was written by man.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just kind of the feeling that you have as a Christian that you probably would say, I know there is a God. I just, you know, to me, have I questioned it? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sit with me. In my heart, I believe in science. And I just believe in nature and the good of humanity, and I believe the good that
let me ask you one more question. Sure, let me ask you one more question while we're here, because you believe in science. Science tells us different facts about the world. You believe in goodness, though. Do you believe there is a fact in the world just as strong as the fact that the Earth is round that says you ought to be good and avoid evil? You must, as a human being, you have a duty to be good. Do you think that is a fact?
Yes, I believe humans are born with that in their heart. Yes, I do believe that.
Where does that come from? What makes it true?
I think it's innate in humanity. I think it's innate in humanity.
But don't humans also have a very innate desire to do evil? For example, what percent of people lie?
You know what? I don't think that people have an innate sense of doing evil. I think that it's a lot of times it's circumstantial and it's with the intentions of gaining power or control or some sort of resources. And
but human beings,
you know,
still do bad things. I'm sure you see this all the time as a social worker.
But in your example of is Hitler a bad person or a good person? Do you think Hitler was, again, you know, I'm not pro-Hitler or anything, but in your example, do you think, like, as a two-year-old, he was, you know, how do you think he was acting as a two-year-old?
Probably
along the line.
Probably similar to my two-year-old, but with a German accent or an Austrian accent,
yeah,
I would
exactly
imagine.
Right.
But I was amused because, I mean, You all, your one's eyebrows are always raised when a person says, I'm not pro-Hitler or anything, but I see what you're saying. But I think sometimes where our disagreements can arise when it comes to religion is the thought that religion teaches that human beings are just kind of worthless piles of scum apart from God. And that might be what some religions teach, but at least it's not what my religion teaches, which is the Catholic faith. My religion teaches that human beings are good, just as you believe that. But because we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we detect that moral duty that God has given into our hearts, and God not just aligns our compasses, he points them in the right direction and gives us the gas in the tank to go in the right direction when it comes to that.
Ashley, thanks for the call. We got to go because the music's playing and the music is the boss around here. But if you hang on for a second, we'll send you one of Trent's books, Why We're Catholic. You might enjoy it. We'll be right back with more. Why are you not religious?
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humani Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. We asked 5 distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humani Vitae from 5 perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Tomorrow is the Feast of St. Gerard,
patron of expectant mothers and those having difficulty conceiving.
Join Take Two tomorrow to share your experience with having a child when told that you couldn't.
Now let's return to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour and next is Trent Horn, and there's usually a long line to talk with Trent. So if you want to talk with Trent about why you are not religious, 888-318-7884 is the number to start dialing, 888-318-7884. We go now to Gilbert in Dayton, Ohio. Gilbert, why are you not religious?
Hello. I just driving in my car. And overheard your, I go by the name Gil, actually, but Okay. Officially named Gilbert.
Sure.
But just had a question about why I'm not religious is because history shows me that religion has caused the reason for a lot of wars, throughout the history of our world. Mm-hmm. And I see things going on right now about where, the Jews against the Catholics and those type of situations. And so I just really wanted to hear your thoughts on if you thought that has anything to do with possibly all the attack on all the Catholic priests and the situations there. Are they trying to gain an upper hand in this world of righteousness here on this globe?
Is who trying to gain an upper hand? Gil.
Each denomination.
Oh, okay. Like when the criticism of Catholic priests and things like that. I haven't seen that, at least in the recent clergy abuse scandal. I think the different stories about abuse, almost all of them predating the year 2002 when the Catholic Church put in reforms in the United States to prevent abuse from happening, that these stories have been unearthed through grand jury investigations, and those who have been involved in criminal activities, either directly or indirectly, they must be held accountable. And I've talked about that here on the show and also on my own podcast, The Council of Trent. However, on the larger question about religion causing wars, I don't think that's a good reason to not be religious for several reasons. One, when you look at the history of the world, most wars have not been fought in the solely because of religious differences. The biggest reason people have engaged in armed conflict is usually for resources, natural resources like minerals, land, things like that. I would say land is probably stuff. We'll put it that way. Most wars are fought for stuff, whether it's land or resources, whatever it may be. But if you continue that argument, if someone says, I'm not religious because most wars are fought because for religion, then you'd have to say, I don't want to own stuff because most wars are fought over stuff. But most people are still fine owning all their stuff, even if people have fought over things for centuries. Do you see what I'm saying here?
Well, I do, but yeah, that's why I'm I give a lot of stuff away that I have.
Well, good. And, that is a wonderful virtue, the virtue of generosity. So I think that if we see that there can be the virtuous ownership of goods, that you don't, you know, you own things and you don't resort to stealing or warfare to get more stuff, then I think you can also practice what's called virtuous religion. That all religion is, it's kind of funny, a lot of people throw that term around. Religion is just man's response to God. Man comes to understand God exists, and so man wants to respond to God in some way. And I think there are good and there are bad responses. But just because there are bad responses doesn't mean there's no such thing as a good response. So when it comes to violence, I mean, if you think about it, in the past, century, in the 120 years or so, can you think of a armed conflict, at least, that has been the fault of Christianity?
Well, through the, you know, the different, the, you know, the Jews against the Muslims, and, you know, so...
Right, that's why I picked a specific religion. Yeah, well, the Middle East is a complicated question that if you just reduce it to religion, that doesn't get you to answer the question, because there have also been non-sectarian leaders in Middle Eastern countries. The country of Iraq, for example, was ruled for a long time by a non-sectarian religion that didn't promote an official view of Islam. So the strife that we see in the Middle East is, I think, primarily caused by the competition for limited resources in that region. But once again, so going back to it, though, it's funny, Cy. I remember I was looking at a map on a news website, one that should remain unnamed, and the title was A Year of War and Religion. Okay, and it had like a map of the world, and it had different dots of religious conflicts. And yet I went and looked at each map and then read up on the conflict, and there is one instigator behind every single conflict.
I'm going to think, who could that be? Okay, I got it.
Go right ahead.
I don't want to say
It was not George Burns.
Okay.
It was not George Burns behind it. But no, it was Islam. And so it's funny. I just saw that was an interesting bias. Instead of saying a year of Islam in war, it's a year of religion and war. It's true, but inaccurate. So Gilbert, I'm very grateful for your call, and I hope that is a helpful answer to you. But I think that bad things happen in the world not because – oh, here's how I'll put it. The late atheist Christopher Hitchens once said that religion poisons everything. I think it's actually the other way around, that true and undefiled religion that we give to God, everything in this world that is sinful ends up poisoning religion. So when you get human beings together, whether they're religious or not, their bad traits will come out. The question is, do you have something like the religion God has given us that has grace and that has means to restrain our sinful impulses. So something to think about, and thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Gil. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you are not religious, we'd love to talk with you today. If you're a religious believer, hang on for another day, or a religious practitioner, hang on for another day. Today we are discussing with non-religious people why they are not religious. If you're not religious and you'd like to talk with Trent and I, give us a call, 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Ryan, listening on 91.5 FM, is up next. Ryan, why are you not religious?
Well, you know, I guess that's kind of, I was telling the person who screened me, that's kind of a difficult thing to say, because to be honest, I don't really know if I'm particularly religious or not.
That's fine. You know, tell us what do you do think?
In God.
Okay.
Hold on a moment here. I feel like I'm having trouble with my phone. Oh. Okay. so yeah, I do believe that there is God, and I came about this experience. It's kind of a strange experience because
sure.
It happened doing something that would, I feel as though, you know, most religions would frown upon, you know, and it happened during a psilocybin mushroom experience that I had, you know, and it's, you know, it seems as though that would be something that is kind of sinful, I guess, you know, or viewed as something that is sinful. And I was, you know, before that, like one of the previous callers who you were speaking with, I felt as though I was very, you know, I needed concrete proof to believe in anything. I was like, the whole idea that God existed was totally, you know, I was like, no way. When you die, that's it.
Okay.
You know, I was like, life is just, it just is what it is. There's no God behind it. You know, I couldn't wrap my head around the idea mm-hmm. that God created the earth or the universe out of nothing.
Okay.
But then I had this very powerful experience while I was I guess they call it tripping or whatever.
You mean hallucinating?
Okay. They call it hallucinating.
Sure.
But I tell you, I mean, this experience was so clear and so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember feeling like this overwhelming love of all humanity, and I had this experience where I saw the earth and the universe being created out of nothing and just kind of coming into being, and like what I felt behind that was that there is God, and that it is this ultimate. The only way I can describe it is this ultimate white light of just loving divine, like just pure love energy that just created all of this mm-hmm. for us to experience it, only for us to come to the realization that God created all of this. For us to realize,
sure,
that
Ryan
there is
yeah.
God. Yeah.
Let me jump in here. First, I would to all of our people who are listening, I would say what I was taught. You know, back in the early 90s, kids, stay in school, don't do drugs. Because Ryan, you sound like a very thoughtful, intelligent person who's trying to do what's good in life, and I would hate to see you ingest any substance that could cause damage to the thoughtful, intelligent person that you are. So I'm very glad that you have an open mind and you called in and you're sharing about this. I really am. And who knows? There's different things that happen to us in life that can cause us to have a reality check, or, you know, just basically broadens our mind to see the world's a lot bigger than we think. I guess in your case, it was using a hallucinatory drug. For other people, they have that reality check moment when they have a near-death experience. You know, that they are about to die, or they clinically die, and then they realize there's something more to life than the material, and they have that kind of white light experience that you had. So it's possible, you know, so just like someone with a near-death experience who has some kind of harm come to their brain, the soul or self rebels against that, and you see this, you might have had the same kind of reality check with this drug experience. So one, I would say recommend to our listeners not to go down that path, because actually in the history of the saints, there have been saints who have experienced this love of God through prayer and meditation. Some have even described it as ecstasy. The word ecstasy coming from two Greek words, ekstasos, to be outside of oneself, that they're able to achieve this same kind of, I guess, enlightenment, you could call it, just through prayer and meditation and becoming separated from the noise of the world around them and focused on who they are in relation to the ultimate grounding of reality itself. So I would encourage you to continue to understand this when it comes to finding out what it means to be religious. In fact, if you'll stay on the line, our call screener can get your email address, and I would be happy to send you just some basic resources to help you begin the path to understand about being spiritual, and that maybe even just with prayers. Just try to find a time just to relax yourself without any substances to help you. A quiet place, maybe light a candle if you need to, and just and then just close your eyes and say, you know, God, if you created this whole universe, you're all powerful, you made everything and you made me, let my heart, let my mind be still to come to know your presence. And just start with that. And then from there, I would encourage you to look, I mean, I know there's a lot of different kinds of religions, but I firmly believe that when people get to know Jesus, they see that one religion sticks out among all the others and shows that God has come down among human beings to reveal himself. So you can go to our website at catholic.com and just type in Jesus and read about him. And I think that it'd be very helpful for you. So do stay on the line, give our call screener your email address. I'll give you some resources because I'd like you to continue your spiritual journey in a way that is most conducive to your health and your happiness.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks very much. There are a lot of people, Trent, who have gone down the looking for spiritual experience through various chemicals and things. And enough of the stories end up really bad that it might warn you, not that path. Take another one.
Yeah, I would say that the harm that can come from these severe hallucinogenic drugs,
right.
That, you know, Ryan's talked about how you guys would probably think it's a sin. I don't say that in the sense that there's an arbitrary rule saying you can't use drugs like these. I would say that just from a principle of reason that, you know, if you're driving a car or let's say you're flying a plane, it's not a good idea when the plane's not on autopilot to just go into the back and mix yourself a drink and totally not have your hands on the controls. Because our bodies and our minds, you know, we're capable of doing great, really great or really bad things. You know, decisions we make are important. And to basically let go of the wheel and say, ah, who cares? I don't need to be in control right now. You wouldn't let go of the wheel driving on a mountain road. You wouldn't let go of the yoke if your plane is not on autopilot. You know, the sin of drug use or excessive alcohol use, for example, any kind of drug abuse is marked by the rejection of the rational mind, of saying, of giving up rational control over your mind. And when you do that, you stop being human. You stop being able to act in a moral and restrained way. It can be very dangerous for yourself and others. So if there's any good that came out of this, and for other people who have had kind of awakenings, the comparison I would make would be like to a near-death experience, that even though you experienced a great harm or injury, at least through this terrible sequence of events, you came to see a broader picture of reality. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean the next time you want to see God, you're going to, you know, jump off a cliff again. There's right. other ways to do that are less injurious to your health.
Right.
And so that's why I think through prayer, through meditation, and people have said, you know, well, why is Trent talking about meditation? You know, what is he, you know, why isn't he telling Ryan to go pray the rosary? Look, I believe people need to be met where they're at. And I think for some people, just being quiet for a second is where they need to be at. They're not even ready to, or at least if they can pray. A lot of people think of prayer as like, I'm going to sit down with the rosary and I'm going to pray. Prayer is just communicating to God. Even an atheist can pray because you can just say, hey, God, if you're there, can you let me know?
Yeah.
That is a prayer.
Yeah.
And so I think a kind of prayer like that would be helpful for Ryan. But I think at some point to start, in order to see that God is there and to see the virtue of religion, I think you have to unplug from the noise around you. That's why there's a great book written by Cardinal Seurat called The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise.
Yes.
Wonderful book. Wonderful man, wonderful author. And I'm not just saying that because he endorsed my new book with Layla Miller, Made This Way, but it's a great book nonetheless.
But Cardinal Seurat did endorse Layla Miller's new book with Trent Horn's name on it. And you can get that at shop.catholic.com. It's called Made This Way. And you know, maybe having had that conversation, we'll commend that caller to St. Teresa of Avila, whose feast day it is today. And she's
right.
the great church doctor of prayer, as
yes.
it turns out. And she can teach you more about prayer in a very short time than just about anybody that who has ever lived. Right now, we're giving away something free, Trent, right now, this very moment. Demons, Deliverance, and Discernment, an ebook that we have published. You can get it for free by going to the Catholic Answers Facebook page and signing up there. You just go to Facebook, put in Catholic Answers, go to our page, and sign up, and you will get the free ebook, Demons, Deliverance, and Discernment. Do it now.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
What makes me happy is listening to Catholic radio. I'm by myself a lot. I had a concussion as a child and I can't see very well, but I do work. I go to church and I'm an on-fire convert. And as a child, more or less, I've learned to have a good sense of humor whenever I can. And I'm very appreciative of everything I have, and especially Catholic radio.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Killett, your host. Our guest this hour is Layla Miller's co-author on a brand new book, Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. This really is, I'm facetious about a lot of things, but not about this. It's flying off the shelves. I'm not being literal about that, but I'm also not being facetious. This book is very, very popular.
Yes, figuratively, it's been selling a lot. Soon, we're hoping that for home delivery, we'll get those drones working, and then it will literally be flying off the shelves and straight
nice.
To you, so
yeah.
Your little Catholic Answers drone. But until that time, they're figuratively moving a lot. I know that there are parishes actually across the country. One parish ordered 800 copies of that book through our bulk order pricing to give to each of their parishioners, parents, grandparents, really anyone. The book is great even if you don't have children. Made This Way is about how to explain tough moral issues to kids, elementary, middle, and high school. Even if you don't have children, I find the book is incredibly helpful. I know people have told me I really learned a lot just about the church's moral teachings just reading this. I mean, if you can explain a teaching of the faith. If you can explain anything to a small child, if you can explain something to a small child, that shows you understand it. And that's kind of a funny thing when you read different authors, they'll describe something in kind of convoluted ways and you'll say, oh, you know, does this guy really get it? But if he can sit down, a scientist can explain the theory of relativity to a 6-year-old, that guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And so that's what we tried to do with our book, to take the basic principles of church teaching on contraception, abortion, pornography, divorce, transgender, homosexuality, so-called same-sex marriage, so that anybody can understand them and explain them. And so a lot of these parishes have seen, hey, I know people in my own life. Some people have asked me, well, for big kids, it's like what, age 12 to 18? Is there an age limit? And I say, well, some people never outgrow adolescence, so it's really age 12 to who knows.
Infinity.
For some people.
Yeah.
Right. So if you are interested in getting the book or getting the bulk copies, getting 20 books for $100, that's $5 a copy just to give away to other parents, grandparents, and friends, go to madethiswaybook.com. That's madethiswaybook.com.
Why are you not religious? That's our question today. If you are not a religious person, if you do not practice a religion and you'd like to tell us what your reasoning for that is, why that is the case in your life, please give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We go now to Dana in Orange County, California, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Dana, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Why are you not religious?
Well, if I listen to Trent Horn and do what Trent Horn tells me to do, then when I die, I'll experience this glorious reward for all of eternity. But if I don't listen to what he tells me to do, then I'm going to have unimaginable suffering for all of eternity. And this is the foundation of every fraud that's ever been perpetrated on man. And that's really kind of one of the reasons I'm not religious. But I did kind of want to go back to Ashley's call earlier on the, you were talking about moral values and how maybe God is needed to have moral values.
Dana, I do have to interject. When have I ever told people they merely must do what I say they should do? Now, I think I understand what is true when it comes to religion, like what God has revealed to mankind. So I think it's helpful for me to give other people advice on how to come to know God based on his revelation. But I'm not setting myself up as some kind of a cult leader. I think if people came to you and said, how should I be happy? You'd probably have advice of your own from your own perspective to give them. So we're both two people trying to understand the world and help others around us. Wouldn't that be fair to describe you and I?
That would be fair to describe you and I. You are the explainer of the Catholic faith, the apologist for the Catholic faith, though. So
okay.
You're the guy who's done the research that's now explaining it to other people. That's why I use that term. But I stipulate your thing is a, point is a fair point.
Sure. So what did you want to talk about with Ashley, with Ashley's call?
Well, okay, so I reject that. Now, I'm not. She announced herself as an atheist. That's not how I would announce myself. However, our moral values are really through the process of evolution, through natural selection. We get those values naturally. Now, the Creator may have designed that for us to get those naturally, but that's where they come from.
Okay.
And you really have to look at the evidence that you see in the world. You can't ignore it with the suffering, starvation, disease, just because a child can't get clean water, mm-hmm. that God is very possibly malevolent. And the only reason that good things do happen to people is that sometimes God messes up and allows something good to happen, or he allows good things to happen so that those who are suffering actually suffer worse because they see people who aren't in their predicament. Okay. So you have to consider that if you're really going to establish the evidence.
I'd like to respond to that. It sounds like you were giving two separate arguments there. One about the origin of moral values, or a term I prefer are moral facts, universal moral rules that apply to our conduct. The other was a variant of the problem of evil. Now, on the first point, many people who call in, there's other people who say this, that, well, moral values, our moral beliefs come from evolution. I'll say that, yeah, almost all of our beliefs when it comes to moral behavior are conditioned by evolution in some way. But that doesn't tell us which ones we ought to pick. So you could say that the instincts we have, because you could say, yeah, we have instincts to be empathetic, altruistic. We also have instincts to be apathetic and to be deceptive with others. I mean, in the natural world, when you look at evolution, evolution has conditioned every other species on Earth to practice what among humans would be called theft, murder, rape. Those same instincts are in human beings. So evolution gave us instincts like pianos on a key, but evolution doesn't explain which keys you should press at a certain time. Sometimes violence is a good thing, a good key to press. Sometimes it's not. So I don't think evolution alone explains the distinct moral values that we have. That's one point. Number two, you brought up the problem of evil. And that is an argument many people have made against the existence of God. And we're running up against the clock here. But ultimately, that argument assumes that God has no good reasons to allow evil to exist. And so somebody who would make that argument, they'd have to carry that burden of proof.
Well, your argument requires you to make assumptions. My argument is just evaluating the evidence that you see. And as far as God is really not particularly helpful at all in us deciding what is moral and what is not moral. What is helpful is for us to use our own minds, our ability to learn by our mistakes, our ability to communicate with one another. And just because we would like to have a list of what is moral and what is immoral does not mean we get a list. That's not how the universe is set up. We have to decide these things on our own. There is no magical person that's going to give us this on a silver platter.
Well, Dana, I would agree with you that just because we want something to be true doesn't make it so. But it also isn't the case that because we want something, it's not true. That we have good independent evidence God exists, gave us our moral sense, and he's told us through natural law, and he gave us a list that sometimes is a good spiritual kick in the pants when we don't listen to our consciences of what is right and what is wrong in sacred scripture and tradition. Hope you call back. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Dana. Trent Horn is our guest both hours. We continue this conversation. So if you're on the line, stay on the line. If you haven't called yet and you're not a religious person and you'd like to share with us why you are not religious, 888-318-7884. The number, 888-318-7884. When we come back, I'll tell you something Trent forgot to do this hour.